The Lord be with you.
With
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, magi from the east traveled in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all in Jerusalem with him. Assembling the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it was written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means least of the rulers of Judea, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you found him, bring me word, that I too may go to do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. And they were overwhelmed at seeing the star. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasuries and they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for the country in another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
You can preach if you like. Hello. Hey. Good. Now, unfortunately, now you can hear me. You're probably hoping you wouldn't hear me. Yeah. So now, have you ever noticed that when we have a visiting priest and they get up and read the gospel and then they go back and just sit down? They never. And you're very welcome to give the homily, Father Tim. Now, I want to, in the beginning, I want to hang everything we say this morning on one little phrase, and then I want to have a quick look at whole idea of the epiphany and then try and apply it in a practical way to ourselves. So I'll try and keep on track, and if I go off track, shout at me and tell me you're gone off track, right? Is that fair? So the little phrase I'd like to give you at the very beginning is, and I'll tell you twice, and then I'll ask you maybe during the homily to repeat it. I'll give you a test. And the phrase is, Christ came in the form of Jesus not to change God's mind about us, but to change our mind about God. So, Christ came, took on flesh in the form of Jesus, not to change God's mind about us, but to change our mind about God. Now, if you really, really hang on to that, hopefully what I say will make sense. And when we think of God, very often, we think of a transcendent God way up there. We begin at the top. And I think what Jesus is telling us in this beautiful feast of the Epiphany and in the whole story of Christmas is he wants us to begin at the bottom. not from the top down. That's the way we are kind of trained. Now, look at the words we use. Oh, Almighty God. We use words like sovereign God, dominion, high in the heavens. And we remove God. We keep him at a distance from us. And Jesus is telling us all the time, I'm here. Right down here. God is in everything, and everything is in God. God is right down here. He's living in each one of us. Now, if you can really accept that and do away with the idea of God up there somewhere. No. We use words like that, kingdom, sovereignty, almighty, wonderful. God is really down here. And look, as Christians, we're no different from anybody else. We kind of worship power, we worship success, we worship money, we worship celebrities, people who are famous. And what Jesus is teaching us is a spirituality of descent. A spirituality of descent. That God is down here among us. That's really the story of Christmas and the Epiphany. Let's have a brief look at the Magi. They came from the east. The east was regarded as where wise people came from. So if you go to Ireland, unfortunately you're going west, yeah. Right. So we leave that. And the Magi, now there's no evidence that they were kings, and either in the scripture or from a historical point of view. So the best interpretation of the word Magi we can find is that they were scientists. Now that's very interesting if you say they were scientists, because today religion and science are getting closer and closer all the time. And you or I might think that we are very clever in the 20th century or in the 21st century, because now when we get into our cars or on our cell phones, we have satellite navigation to tell us where we're going. Well, long before we ever heard of satellite navigation, the wise men used satellite navigation. They did. They called it a star. We are guided now by something way up there. We call a satellite. So they found Jesus by GPS. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Now again, wise men coming to adore or to pay worship to a little humble baby in a manger, and they brought him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, just want to go off at a tangent for a moment. If it had been three wise women, would they have arrived with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh? No, they would have arrived with some diapers. And they would have eventually got down, and they would have cleaned up the place up. And they would have made a casserole for Mary and Joseph. You imagine, you know, giving a little baby gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, see, women, they understand. We men, you know, just don't have a clue. So going on from there, now you have these three wise men adoring a little baby, a vulnerable baby in a manger. Now, would you be comfortable in praying to Jesus or praying to God and saying, oh, vulnerable God, oh, fragile God? Because that's the way God is. God is right down here with us, right here beside us. And that's where we find God. Now, if you can really accept that into your life and go back to the phrase, God came in the form of Jesus to change not his mind about us, not to change God's mind about us, but to change our mind about God. Now we see God in a totally different way, and he becomes much closer to us. And we have a whole new relationship, a whole new relationship. So what kind of faith have you? Another very important thing, the meaning of Epiphany is I reveal myself, I manifest myself, I make myself known. Revelation did not stop when Jesus died or left us. Revelation is going on. God is revealing himself every moment of every day. Now, have you experienced that in your life? God revealing himself, making himself known every day. Well, I have. I have. How? Because I see God in everything that happens in my life. And I see how wonderful God is. Now, this is a fact. This week, just gone, I happened to be up in Huntington Hospital to anoint somebody who was dying. And I was glad I was there. As I was leaving the hospital, now look at the timing, and I was just about to go out the door and come home, a nurse stopped me and said, "Are you a priest?" And I said, "Yes." "Oh, thank God," she says, "we have a patient dying on the fourth floor, and the family are desperately looking for the priest." Now, a second later, I would have been gone. And I said to her, "Isn't God wonderful? Isn't God something else?" And you know, I'm a believer. My faith, I believe every day I get up that God has a surprise for me. And not only one, but many, and he does. And I came home on Thursday night from Huntington Hospital, you're absolutely wonderful. And before I went to bed, I went down on my knees and said, "God, let me never doubt you for one moment. That is God." And when you begin to see God like that, you have this beautiful relationship with God. So kind of things like worry and anxiety and fear goes out the window. Because he never, ever, ever lets us down. So what have we got to do now? Well, Jesus wants us to make him known. How do we do that? Not by preaching. St. Francis said, "By all means, preach the gospel, but only use words if necessary. Do it by how you live and how you behave." So have a look of joy about you. You're Christians. God is in your life. Be joyful. Be happy. When you meet with problems, God is there beside you. You're not on your own. And there's people out there every day of the week looking for a meaning in life. They're searching all the time. They know there's something more than just it here. They're looking, and they look at you. And many people who would say to you, "I'm an atheist." I don't think there's any real atheist. Very often what they're saying is, "I don't believe in the God that you Christians portray. The kind of God that you show, a fearful God up there, an eternal torturer, if you don't, that's looking on you. That's not God. That's not God. That's not the God that I know. It's not the God that I believe in." And a final little phrase for you. People out there are searching for a meaning in life. They may never read or even hear of the Gospels according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And the only Gospel they'll ever read is you. They listen to what you say, and they look at what you do. What is the gospel according to you? They listen to what you say, and they look at what you do. What is the gospel according to you? Take that home and think about it. You know, a simple little thing. When you see a homeless person on the street, what do you normally do? Now, this is embarrassing and painful to admit this, but very often in the past, I've gone to the other side or I've passed by. Nowadays, if I see a homeless person, I will pause and stop for a moment. I'll say hello and ask him how she is or how he is. And it's amazing what that little question is amazing. So there's something simple you can do. So people listen to what you say. They look at what you do. What is the gospel according to you? And what was the first phrase I gave you? What was the first phrase I gave you? Christ came. You know something? You put all those people down there to shame. You are wonderful. And you think, seriously, children don't listen. What's your name? Stephen. David Stephen, right? Stephen with a? Right, okay, I got that. David Stephen. Well, David Stephen, you are amazing. You put them all to shame. So can you repeat that again? Christ came. Good man. Hiya. Hey, leave it there. Oh, he's wonderful. There you go. Now we have a little job to do. So where's Cambria? There she